Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Girlfriend's Guide to Sports podcast. My name is Claire Coles, and this is your weekly update. It's Monday, April 1st. Let's start with what you missed over the last week. Then we'll move on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. So in case you don't know me, I am not a big April Fool's person. Thought about coming up with something clever to put in here and then be like, April Fool's, psych. But no, that's just not me. So everything you hear in the podcast tonight is 100% true. It is April 1, so of course we are going to go over what is coming up this month that you should be aware of. So for the month of April, the women's Final Four will be April 5th through the 7th. The men's Final Four will be the 6th through the 8th. Also, the Masters, so the first of the major championship season for the PGA Tour, begins on the 11th and runs through the 14th. The Boston Marathon will be competed on the 15th. NBA postseason begins on the 16th, and the NFL draft begins on April 25th and runs through the 27th. And it was opening weekend for the MLB, so we are going to start off with some baseball. Dodgers fans were happy and showed their love for their new star by selling out their home debut. Shohei Ohtani may have had some stuff going on in his personal life, but he got 2 hits and was pleased with his performance. Although Mookie Betts and Freeman both got home runs, and the Dodgers beat the Cardinals 7-1 on opening day. Also on opening day, the Diamondbacks set a opening day record with a 14-run inning against the Rockies in the third on Thursday. They were already leading 2-1 when they went to the plate for the inning, where they cycled through 18 batters. They went through 13 hits, 2 walks, and a sacrificial fly. They are only the second team ever to do that in one inning without a home run. And then O'Neill had a home run on opening day for the 5th straight year. That is a major league record. In a game today, the Cubs had an infield home run, aka a little league home run, when the Rockies made a couple mistakes. 2 errors were recorded on the play. It was kind of embarrassing. So not a good week to be the Rockies after you have a 14-run inning against you and then an infield home run. We also already have suspensions after just a couple days of baseball season. Blue Rays pitcher Genesis Cabrera and Mets pitcher Yohan Ramirez are both suspended for 3 games apiece, but not for anything they did to each other. This is actually in 2 separate games. Ramirez got in trouble for throwing at Brewers Rise Hoskins in the 7th of their loss on Saturday. And then Cabrera got in trouble for pushing Rays shortstop Cabrillo first, causing the confrontation and causing benches to clear in the 7th inning on their game as Saturday as well. So 7th inning on Saturday, not a good look for these two pitchers. Again, benches were cleared, although punches weren't thrown. Cabrillo was tagged out on 3rd and then tempers flared. The Rays went on to win 5-1. Then 4 teams are undefeated after opening week. The Yankees won all 4 of their games, as did the Pirates. The Tigers and the Brewers also won all 3 of theirs. On the flip side, the Astros and the Marlins have lost all 4 of theirs. The Astros actually lost all 4 of theirs to the Yankees, and the White Sox and the Mets are also winless through 3 games as well. Moving along to the NBA, it was a quiet week on TV, but man, we had some good stuff going on in the games. So this week in the NBA on Monday, the Celtics were up by 18 on the Hawks at half, but the Atlanta team came back from a 30-point deficit at one point in the game to ultimately win by two. Pretty good considering Tatum had 37 points by himself. The Knicks shooting guard, DiVincenzo, I could not say that no matter how many times I practiced it, set a franchise record with 11 three-pointers and a career-high 40 points to lead the New York team over the Pistons 124-99. That is the Knicks' 15th consecutive victory over the Pistons. The Pacers upset the Clippers at home after a strong second half, outscoring the LA team by 14. But the biggest upset of the day was the Spurs, who nailed a 26-foot three-footer, three-pointer with just 29 seconds left to win by two over the Suns in front of their San Antonio crowd. On Tuesday, we knew the Warriors and the Heat game was going to be a close one, and it was. Well, for the first half. Second half, the Warriors ran away with it, going into the half down two, and ultimately ended up winning by 19. The Mavs at the Kings game should have been close, but the Dallas team put the hot Kings away by 36 points. But no game was closer than the Lakers-Bucks game that night. The Bucks had a terrible fourth quarter, only putting up 13 points and letting the LA team come back and take them into overtime twice. Ultimately, the Lakers got the last laugh, winning in double overtime after being down 19 points during the game. That one stings. Despite having the worst record of the two teams, the Lakers have won the two matchups this season. On Wednesday, Draymond Green lasted just 4 minutes into their game for the Warriors against the Magic before getting ejected. Steph Curry had an off-shooting night, and Golden State still managed to win 101-93. To say the Nets-Wizards game was back and forth would be an understatement. Each quarter was literally led by a different team, and both teams had the highest scoring player sitting at 38 points apiece. The Nets did get the better of the Wizards, though, in overtime, only winning by two. The Rockets and Thunder also went into overtime. The Rockets handed the OKC team their eighth loss at home of the season. And then the Spurs went on to beat the Jazz to win two in a row. Then the Suns shut down Jokic to upset the Nuggets by seven. So quite a crazy day on Wednesday. Contrast to that, there were only two games on Thursday, as that was the day that March Madness came back on the TV, but both were upsets. The Hawks beat the Celtics again on Thursday, this time in overtime, and Atlanta shooting guard Murray put up the highest points of the week to that point with 44. The Pelicans also dominated in the second quarter, scoring 35 points, and that was enough to hold on to the lead over the Bucks. So there's your two upsets on Thursday. Friday, the Nets tied the NBA record with 18 three-pointers in a single half, that was the second half, to beat the Bulls by 17 points. The Pistons and the Wizards faced off in a race of the worst teams. The Pistons got the better of this matchup, though, and they both sit at the same home record of 6 wins to 30 losses. Speaking of another bad team, the Trailblazers got annihilated by 60 points by the Heat. That is the largest victory in franchise history for the Miami team. The Timberwolves beat the Nuggets by 13, and now both teams have 51 wins apiece. The Spurs were beating the Knicks at half by 17 points, and the Knicks came back to take the game into overtime. Both teams had their stars hit career highs in this game as well. San Antonio center Wemby scored 40 points, but despite New York Knicks point guard Brunson putting up 61 points, the highest of the week, the Spurs get their third consecutive win. Saturday had three games, and all three went according to plan, and they covered the spread. Also of note, the Bucks finally put away the Hawks for the first time this week. LeBron had a good Easter Sunday, setting his career high of 9 three-pointers in the Lakers' win over the Nets, who only put up 11 points in the first quarter. LeBron had 40 points at the end of the night, though. Two other players would put up 40-plus that day. Clippers' Paul George was responsible for 41 in their win over the Hornets, 130-118. And then Mavs star Luka Doncic put up 47 points in the Dallas versus Houston matchup. Needless to say, the Mavs won by 18. The Knicks lost another close one on Sunday, their second heartbreaker in a row. This one was to the Thunder, who beat them by one with a killer fourth quarter. And also, I am pretty much going to update the standings as every week as we go on, because postseason does begin on the 16th. So we are coming down to the last, 10-ish games, something like that. So in the East, the Celtics are in and they have clinched the whole conference and the division and everything pretty much in that one. So it is a Celtics runaway. Eliminated from that conference is the Pistons, the Wizards, the Hornets, and the Raptors. Right now, the Nets are on the outside looking in, and they are not close. So they will need a miracle to make the playoffs. In the West, it is a much tighter race. Both the Thunder and the Nuggets have secured a spot in playoffs, but since both are sitting at 52 wins and the Timberwolves are at 51 wins, no one has clinched that conference yet. Eliminated, though, are the Spurs, the Trailblazers, the Grizzlies, and the Jazz. The Rockets are outside looking in, but only two wins behind the last team in, which is the Warriors. Moving along to NCAA March Madness, as it was the Sweet 16 for the men's tournament this weekend. Three of four games on night one were upsets, so you kind of were like, man, I feel like we kind of got away without something crazy happening during a lot of the tournament so far. That ended. Number one, UConn was the only one to get through unscathed, winning by 30 over last year's Cinderella number 5 San Diego State. Six seed Clemson goes to their first Elite Eight in 44 years after beating number 2 Arizona. Despite Clemson taking an early lead, we were tied at two different points in the second half. Clemson was only up by 2 with 30 seconds left when Chase Hunter made a one-handed layup. The Tigers added insult to injury with a huge pass across the court to the other Hunter brother, who almost slam dunked one. Technically, it was a layup, but it sure looked like a slam dunk. And so just adding insult to injury on that win. Number one, UNC was up at half against a strong offensive number 4 Alabama team with a strong 54 points. I was like, okay, UNC has this in the bag, 54 points on Alabama, and I was wrong. Alabama made up the difference quickly by 13 minutes to go in the second half, actually. The game then went back and forth. We were tied with 4 to go. Armando Bracott had a layup with just 3 seconds left. Bama missed their free throws, giving UNC a chance, but the Tide comes up big with a huge block so that the Tar Heels never get rebuttal. Number 3, Illinois led by 10 at half, and despite number 2, Iowa State coming back in the second half, it was not enough, so the Fighting Illini move on. Friday was a little bit more even. Number 1, Purdue put up 40 points in both halves to beat number 5, Gonzaga. Number 2, Tennessee put away number 3, Creighton, in his second half by scoring 48 points. Both teams had players who put up 25 plus apiece. Number 4, Duke upset number 1, Houston, in a low-scoring battle, 54-51. Shout out to Noel Gorham, who was super pumped on that game and actually talked some smack to some of my work friends. It was kind of awesome. Number 11, NC State is keeping the Cinderella's carriage from turning into a pumpkin for another round. They won the first half by 13 and held on for dear life while number 2 Marquette came back, but it was not enough and the Wolfpack moves on. So we move on to the Elite Eight, and I'm going to go over every game pretty much from now on. So number 1, UConn took care of business and put the stamp on it in the second half, putting up 49 points. The Huskies beat number 3 Illinois, going on a 30-0 run and winning by 25. The other Elite Eight game that day was familiar faces on the football field, but now on the basketball court. Number 6, Clemson versus number 4, Alabama. And it was a great close game. Bama was up 3 at half, but then both teams went off in the second half, scoring 50 plus. But the Tide outlasted the Tigers to make their first Final Four in school history. They are the only team to have made the college football playoff and the Final Four this year. Another number 1 made it to the next round. Number 1 Purdue put up 36 in both halves to beat number 2 Tennessee. Zach Edey majorly helped with 14 straight points for the Boilermakers. And then the Cinderella story continues with a huge upset. Number 11 NC State started off slow, only scoring 21 points in the first half. half, but they came back scoring 55 in the second to put away the Blue Devils and their in-state blue blood basketball school rivals. NC State is the first team with 14 losses in the regular season to make the Final Four. Football head coach Dave Doran might need to be corrected when he said he's tired of NC State being known as a basketball school. This is kind of proving that point. Big man DJ Burns is unstoppable, so let's see if Purdue can stop him in the next round. In the women's tournament, because I have to go over it, there's so much going on. The Sweet 16, we were still had four perfect brackets going into the Sweet 16. Number one, South Carolina, squeaked by number four, Indiana, only winning by four. That's saying something, considering they had won by like 99 points collectively before that. Number one, Texas, beat up on number four, Gonzaga, who only scored 9 points in the first two quarters. Number three, Oregon State upset number two, Notre Dame, and that only left one perfect bracket left. And then finally, to wrap it up, number three, NC State upset number two, Stanford, and that left none. No perfect brackets were left after that game. The perfect bracket went 50-0 before that loss. Bad day to be a number two also in the women's bracket because they both lost that day. The next day, there was only one upset. Number three, LSU handed number two, UCLA, their first loss, especially in the fourth quarter, to advance. Other than that, number one, Iowa, and number one, USC, won their games, although USC's was tight with number five, Baylor. Iowa's win over five, Colorado, was not. And then number three, UConn, Paige Beckers, also known as Paige Buckets, put up 24 points by herself to lead her team to an easy win. Moving along to the Elite Eight, number one, South Carolina did not like their close call in the Sweet 16, so they didn't make this game close. They beat the Beavs easily. Number three, NC State was leading number one, Texas, by 12 at half and held on for an impressive upset win. Both the men and the women Wolfpack are in the Final Four. We do have games tonight, including a rematch of last year's national championship, number three LSU versus number one Iowa. Iowa is favored in that game by 2.5 points. Also, Caitlin Clark has been invited to the Olympic training camp before the Final Four. Nine former Olympians are also invited to train and get ready for Paris. Moving along to football, we've got some spread across the NCAA and the NFL. Georgia running back Trevor Etienne was arrested for a DUI and is now facing suspension for 10% of the season if he is found guilty. Etienne was going 80 to 90 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour speed limit zone. That has been happening more and more, with even a staffer dying from racing and involving UGA football staff and players. While I do believe kids will make mistakes, this is now becoming a really bad pattern for the Georgia Bulldogs. Might need to throw down some serious punishment here if this does not stop. There are also some new rules in the NFL coming down the pike. Two big ones to report on. The hip drop tackles are now banned. Last year, there were 230 tackles like this that led to 15 leg injuries. That is 20 times the normal amount of tackles. The other big change is on the kick return, and they are allowed, and only the kicker and the returner are allowed to move on kickoffs. So basically, it's going to look a lot like the XFL did. So where you've got the two lines of opposing players only about 10 yards from each other. And so those collisions will happen a lot sooner, and thus creating less of an impact is the thought anyway. It's for player safety, quote unquote. This is only a one-year trial for both of these rulings. And like I said, we've seen that kickoff one before. It is in the XFL, now the UFL. Moving along to the PGA Tour, the Texas Children's Houston Open was a battle down the stretch. Going into the final round, there was a five-way tie for the lead. Friday's round was noteworthy, though. We're going to backtrack for two reasons. Scottie Scheffler's streak of rounds under par ended at 28 straight rounds after he three-putted from 6 feet to end the day with a par of 70. Also, Tony Finau tied his career low round of 62 to take the lead. That is the sixth time that he has shot 62, and he did it the last time at the same course and the same tournament. But it all came down to Stefan Jaeger and Scottie Scheffler in the end. Jaeger closed with 9 straight pars. Scottie left some opportunities on the table, but had a 5-foot-4-inch birdie putt to take the tournament to a playoff with Jaeger. Scheffler hadn't missed anything under 7 feet all weekend. Obviously, he had missed one on Friday, but not the weekend, except that one. Jaeger wins his first title at the age of 34. That is 135 starts on the PGA Tour. And he will get invited to the Masters in 2 weeks. Super quick Olympic news. Technically, this is not an Olympic sport, but great British ultra runner Jasmine Paris is the first female to ever complete the Barkley Marathons. The total amount of mileage in the Barkley Marathons is 100 miles, and you have to make it under 60 hours. So she is the first female to ever finish under that time limit. She finished with 99 seconds to spare. Also, Russia and Belarus are now banned from the opening ceremonies in Paris. The teams will still be allowed to compete, and athletes are still allowed to compete under them as well, but they are not allowed to be in the opening ceremonies. And then last week, UVA won the women's swim and dive title for the NCAAs. This week, Arizona State won the men's side. The Sun Devils beat Cal, who had won the Natty the last 2 years. That is it with what happened over the last week. No quick headlines because there was kind of like a chunk of all of the different sports. So I decided to cut that this week, and you had what's coming up this month. So now let's move on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. Lots and lots of baseball this week. Monday, the Rangers at the Rays at 5:50 on Fox Sports 1. Then on Tuesday, the Reds at the Phillies at 4:50 on TBS, followed by the Giants at the Dodgers at 9:10. On Saturday, the Dodgers play the Cubs at 3:05 on Fox Sports 1. And then on Sunday, the Astros at the Rangers. So Houston versus Dallas at 6 p.m. on ESPN. The Astros desperately need a win there. In NCAA softball and baseball, we don't have the same amount of ranked versus ranked matchups, I feel like there was last week, but we've got some big headliners starting with softball on Monday. Number 20, Arkansas versus 3, Georgia. They will play at 6 p.m. on SEC Network. Tuesday, in the baseball realm, number 9, UVA versus 11, Duke. They play at 11 a.m. on ACC. Then we skip Wednesday in ranked versus ranked. On Thursday, we've got two in baseball. Number 7, Vandy versus 18, LSU at 6 on ESPN2, followed by 10, UNC versus 15, UVA at 6 p.m. on ACC Network. So UVA has a hard week in the world of baseball this week. On Friday, we've got two softball and two baseball. So starting with softball, 13 Mizzou versus 20 Arkansas. They will play at 5 on SEC Network. And then the Red River Showdown, but on the softball field, number 1 Oklahoma versus number 2 Texas. They play at 5:30 on ESPNU. In baseball, number 21, Wake Forest versus 11, VTech. They play at 6 on ACC Network. Or you can go watch the SEC, number 7, Vandy versus 18, LSU at 7. On Saturday, 2 softball and 1 is a matchup we already had, but another one is new. 7 LSU versus number 9 Florida at 5 on ESPN, and then stay on that channel because it's number 1 Oklahoma versus 2 Texas again at 7 o'clock. On Sunday, 3 ranked versus ranked matchups in softball and only 1 in baseball. So starting with softball, 3 Georgia versus 4 Tennessee. So we got 1 versus 2 and 3 versus 4 all in the softball world this week. It told you it's going to be an awesome quality ranked matchups. They will play at 10 a.m. on ESPN2, followed by number 7 LSU versus 9 Florida, the second game in that matchup at noon on ESPN2 as well. And then number 13 Mizzou versus 20 Arkansas for wrapping up that three game streak at 2 p.m. on SEC Network. For baseball, follow number 13 Bama versus 17 Kentucky at 11 a.m. on SEC as well. Lots and lots of ranked games going on in that world. In the NBA, only 4 games on TV this week, actually 6 games, just kidding. As we wrap up the season, the Thunder at the 76ers will play on Tuesday at 6:30 on TNT, followed by the Mavs at the Warriors at 9. On Wednesday, the Thunder take on the Celtics at 6:30 on ESPN, followed by the Cavs at the Suns at 9. And then wrapping it up for the week, on Thursday, the Kings at the Knicks at 6:30 on TNT, followed by the Nuggets at the Clippers at 9. Then in the world of March Madness, the men's Final Four will be on Saturday, number 11 NC State versus number 1 Purdue. They will play at 5:09 on TBS. And then number 4 Bama versus number 1 UConn at 7:50 on TBS as well. So Purdue is actually favored by 9.5 with an over-under of 145. And UConn is favored by 11.5 over an under of 161. Then on Sunday, you can actually catch the HBCU All-Star Game at 3 on CBS. And then the national championship. So March Madness comes to an end for the men's side on Monday. So a week from today, obviously games and or the teams are TBD, but obviously that takes place next Monday. So I wanted to be sure to get that on your radar. They will play at 8:20. In the women's bracket today, the Elite Eight is continued a matchup of last year's national championship. 3 LSU at number 1 Iowa. They play at 6 p.m. on ESPN. That game is actually over as of right now. And then number 3 UConn at number 1 USC at 8 o'clock on ESPN, which is literally right now and going on as we speak. Then the women's tournament goes on and their Final Four begins on Friday. Right now, that looks like number 3 NC State at number 1 South Carolina. They will play at 6 TBD on the channel. South Carolina is favored by 11.5. And then the second Final Four game will be the winner of UConn and USC versus number 1 Iowa at 8 p.m. Again, TV channel is all TBD, but it should be ESPN. And then the women's national championship will be at 2 on Sunday. So actually the women, I know they wrapped up their Elite Eight tonight, so one day behind the men's, but then they actually start their Final Four a day before, and they will end on Sunday, national championship for the women's at 2 on ABC. For football, the UFL second week, San Antonio Brahmas on Saturday will take on Memphis Showboats at 11 a.m. on ESPN, followed by the Arlington Renegades, who got their first win, versus the St. Louis Battlehawks at 7 on ABC. The Battlehawks lost on a 64-yard field goal that was made at the last minute. And then on Sunday, Birmingham Stallions at the Michigan Panthers. They're the ones who kicked the 64-yard field goal at 11 a.m. on ESPN, followed by the Houston Roughnecks at the D.C. Defenders at 3 on Fox. In the world of golf, we've got both the PGA Tour and LIV Tour in action this week, as well as the Augusta National Women's Amateur can be seen on Golf Channel all week. Again, it is the women's amateur at the Masters. So the week before the Masters goes and the PGA Tour plays there. So Thursday, the PGA Tour, Valero Texas Open. Remember, this is their Texas swing. They start in Houston and then they go to Valero and then they will come to Dallas. So Valero Texas Open round one will be at 3 on Golf Channel. On Friday, the LIV Tour Miami round one begins at 12:15 p.m. on the CW. Then the Valero Texas Open round two will be at 3 on Golf Channel. On Saturday, Valero round three can be watched at noon on Golf Channel and it switches over to NBC at 2:30. LIV Tour Miami round two is at 12:15 on CW. And the final round of the Augusta National Women's Amateur is also on Saturday, but that's at 11 a.m. on NBC. On Sunday, the PGA Tour wraps it up at the Valero Texas Open at noon on Golf Channel, switches over to NBC at 1:30, and the Miami final round for the LIV begins at 12:15 shotgun start on the CW. In the world of hockey, we've got a couple of games going on. Wednesday, the Devils at the Rangers at 6 on TNT, followed by the Kraken at the Kings at 8:30. And then on Saturday, the Lightning take on the Penguins at noon on ABC, followed by the Panthers at the Bruins at 2:30. Wrapping up the week on Sunday, the Sabres at the Red Wings at noon on TNT and the Stars at the Avalanche at 9 on ESPN. Speaking of ESPN, it is Formula One is back on Sunday. It is the MSC Cruises Japanese Grand Prix. That will be at midnight on Sunday night, so late Saturday if you're still at the bar. That will be at midnight on ESPN. And then a little bit of Olympic sports. Thursday, you can catch the Miami Triathlon, and that will be at 6 on Fox Sports 1. And then the New Zealand Grand Prix of Sailing on Saturday. That will be at 2 on CBS. And even though it's not an Olympic sport, I thought it was kind of fun. The Cornhole, American Cornhole League teams will be in action at 1 o'clock on CBS as well. That wraps it up for me this week. Hopefully you're enjoying the finale that is March Madness and keeping up with the Final Four that's going on. I will try to keep you up to date with the women's and the men's and update the blog as we move forward and teams win. As always, check out the blog for more games and times and, of course, videos and links. And I will catch y'all next week.